of his presence and with his love in the coming days. I'll keep going. So, hello? Yes, if you just go to the end of the quiz. So if when you go through the quiz, you can look at all the questions, you can see how many things you've learnt this morning since you came in. So, okay. And it's good to be camping together, and I think doing things together is something which is very important and very special. So you have to excuse me for talking about cricket. I guess you don't know, you don't play very much cricket in Germany. We can beat you at cricket, I think, if nothing else. But in cricket, in fact, you probably will be amused to know that in football, actually in Britain, people think there's a great rivalry between Britain and Germany. And you probably will laugh at that because we always lose. So how on earth you can how on earth you can think that's a rivalry, I don't know. But the equivalent in cricket is between England and Australia. And I remember when we'd been beaten by Australia for 18 years actually. And I was still a young man actually at that point, the last time England won a series against Australia. But finally we'd got some good players. But I just remember the England captain saying at that time, well, it doesn't really matter what happens because we are a team. And if we win, we'll win as a team. And even if we lose, we will still be a team and we will still be together. And I think it's important that we do things together, isn't it? The badge that Julia referred to earlier, the four golden points, are the four areas in which we believe that all of us actually should grow and develop together. The four points meaning in the intellectual growth, we learn things as we go through life, don't we? We become physically stronger, we grow physically as well, but we also grow socially and we also grow spiritually. We believe on the camp then we'll be developing in all of those four different ways. So please keep praying for us as the week goes by. And just pray that God will touch us and God will keep the rain. Let's have a little bit of sunshine shining upon us and the field will dry out. Julia says she likes rain, so is that true? So that's our ranger badge. And of course, Jesus himself, there's a well-known verse at the end of Luke chapter 2 that says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favour with God and man. So Jesus himself, of course, grew in wisdom, that's growing intellectually. He grew in stature, you know, he grew physically, and he grew in favour with God spiritually and with man socially. And I think that's how God really wants each one of us to grow. Now, in our church, we're in the middle of a series of sermons looking at the subject of people who met God. And last week, I was talking about Moses and the burning bush. But we're going to wind back a little bit. And I'm going to talk today about someone called Jacob, who was the grandson of Abraham. And in a sense, Jacob was a man who was exactly the opposite of someone who did things together. He was someone who always struggled and did his best to try and get his own way in everything that happened. Jacob, in fact, the word Jacob means someone who seizes or someone who gets hold. It really comes from the story of the very birth of Jacob. And Jacob was one of two twins, the other twin, of course, being Esau. And Esau was born first and he came out of his mother and he was red and he was hairy. And so therefore they called him Esau, which means hairy. Now, I don't know what sort of names you have, but if you went through your life being called hairy, you might not think that's very nice, but that's Esau anyway. But then Jacob came second, and when Jacob came out, he was holding on to his brother's heel, actually, almost as if he wanted to be out first, or he didn't want Esau to get too far ahead of him. And in somehow, that reflected all of Jacob's life. Everything he did, he was always plotting to try and get a little bit further ahead himself. And Jacob, when he was younger, he certainly was not necessarily the most honest person. He actually tricked his own father into giving him a blessing that should have gone to the older brother. And his older brother, Esau, hairy Esau, was very angry about that. And he actually said, well, my dad is getting old. When my dad dies, I will murder my brother. And Jacob realized that and thought, oh, I'm going to have to get away from here before this happens. So actually he had to run away from his own home, and in fact he went to live with his uncle Laban for a number of years. And his time with Laban was also pretty tough. Yeah, he worked very, very hard, and Laban was also not a very nice man, really, and I think the two of them really tried to cheat each other to try and finish ahead. But the encounter with God I'm talking about is something that happened to Jacob when he was running away from home on his way to stay with his uncle Laban. And if you have Bibles, I'll read the passage out, so it doesn't matter if you don't, but if you have Bibles, I'm speaking from Genesis and chapter 28. So I'll just read out a few verses. So the section is called Jacob's Dream at Bethel. And this is Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. And when he had reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. So you can think when you're camping, no matter how tough it gets, I don't know if you're going to put your head on a stone to sleep, but many great people in the Bible have lived very hard lives and had tough experiences. He put his head on a stone and lay down to sleep, and he had a dream in which he saw a stairway going up to heaven, resting on the earth, resting with its foot on the earth and its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and through your offspring. I am with you, and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, he took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, although the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I can return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. You give me, I will give you a tenth. And that was Jacob having this amazing vision of this ladder in his dream, a ladder which stretched all the way from the earth up to heaven, with the angels ascending and descending the ladder. It's an amazing, just try and imagine that. Can we just move forward a couple of slides? Or one slide? Oh, I don't know why I've got that. Okay, keep going. So Jacob's ladder. There's lots of different things have been called Jacob's ladder. So this is an activity called Jacob's ladder. The next slide. If you're working hard on your energetics, trying to lose a bit of weight, then this is also called Jacob's ladder. But the Jacob's ladder we're looking at today is something like this. So this was, it's actually a German painting. This is just a picture of how somebody visualized this ladder reaching all the way up to heaven, with its foot on the earth. But most importantly, there was the Lord. God was at the very top of the ladder saying, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and I will give you the land on which you are lying. I just want to make 3 points this morning from that passage. The first point actually is that God is near to us, even though sometimes we don't feel it. Now Jacob stopped, he said the sun had set, and Jacob stopped at that place, put his head down on the stone, and went to sleep. It was just like a casual stop. In fact, the place he actually was stopping was a place that was called Bethel, and God met many people actually at that place as you read through the Bible. But Jacob wasn't aware of that. And afterwards he said, well, this is amazing. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not even aware of it. And I just want to say to you something that is true actually, that God is always near. So today God is actually near and meets us in many places and at many times. And I think it's so important we have hearts that are open to God. And even in the most difficult parts of life, God is still near to us. Remember some months ago I gave a sermon when I was talking about Hagar, who was actually a slave, and she was cast out actually of Abraham's household, and it was a very sad story. She had had a child, and her child were out in the desert. That she'd been thrown out, she was on her own, apart from her boy, and she was out of water, and she sat down, and she put her child under a bush, because she says, my boy is going to die, and I just can't bear to watch my boy die. And she sat down, and she sobbed. She started to cry when she thought this was the end of her life. And yet God actually met her at that point, of course, and spoke to her. And she actually said, in response to that, she said, you know, I have seen the God. I have seen the God who sees me. I have seen the one who sees me. And I think the one thing that's so important is that God is near to us all the time. And God always sees the trouble that we are in. Now, Jacob got into his trouble through his own fault. If you trick your brother, try and trick your older brother out of his money, you know you're going to be in trouble. And he was in trouble. But even in his trouble, God was still near to him. So wherever whatever we're thinking about this morning, there is an offer, if you like, of God's presence and God's comfort for us. Jesus actually himself referred to this picture when he was calling his disciples, and he was speaking to Nathanael, and he actually said to Nathanael, I tell you the truth, you yourself will see heaven open and the angels of God will ascend and descend on the Son of Man, meaning himself. And so he was saying to Nathanael that I myself, Jesus, am just like that ladder that links earth and heaven together, and through me you can actually enjoy that comfort and that blessing and that forgiveness from God. So the first thing I'll just say is that God is near to all of us. The second thing I'll say is that God's nature doesn't change. When God spoke to Jacob, he said, I'm the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac. Whenever Jacob heard that, he must have thought of the wonderful promises that God had made to Abraham, that he would give him a land, he would give him descendants, and he would be established, and that through Abraham, all the earth, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And God, he just repeats that same blessing here back to Jacob. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east, the north and the south. I will be with you, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I have done what I've promised. And in a sense, God said to Joseph what he really needed, didn't he? Joseph was fleeing for his life, and God said to him, I will be with you. I will be with you. And when he heard that, he should have been thinking, yes, God's blessing will be with me. People change, but God doesn't change. The heart of God is really to bring blessing. And the heart of God for us today is just the same, to bring blessing. And I think the challenge for us is really, do we actually embrace God and do we trust him? Now, Jacob was someone who did not live as if he knew that God blessed him. He struggled all of his life trying to get blessings by his own ideas and his own means. That's really my third point, that Joseph had this amazing vision from God where God spoke to him, yet it only sort of half impacted him. He was only half changed as a result of this. If you actually look what Joseph actually said to God at the end of this, he said, if God is with me, and if he watches over me on this journey I'm taking, and if he gives me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely, then he will be my God. See what he actually said? Well, if God really blesses me, then yes, he will be my God. And he actually said, the bit right at the very end here, he said, yes, and I'll give you 10% back. It's an amazing thought. It's if you went to your bank manager and you said to your bank manager, I'll tell you what, here's a good deal. If you give me £1 million, I'll give you 10% back. I don't know if anybody's ever tried that. But it's amazing, actually. I mean, it's as if God had said to Jacob, you can have £1 million. You know, all of this land you'll spread out to the east, to the west. Everything is yours. And what does he say? Well, you know, if you do, well, I'm in the middle of my journey. If you look after me in my journey, then whatever you give me, I'll give you 10% back. It's a, when you think about it, it's a very odd conversation, isn't it? Where one person says, you can have absolutely everything here. I love you so much. I care for you so much. You can just have everything. Then in response, Jacob tries to argue some sort of deal with God. And yet the funny thing is, actually, we can be a little bit that way with God today. If God says, yes, I'm willing to give you everything, I gave my own son, Jesus, to die for you. And then we say, well, you know, well, I really need this and I really need that. And somehow we become so self-obsessed with what we're thinking about ourselves that somehow we just miss the big picture, actually, of how generous God is with us. And actually, when Jacob tried to make this deal with God, there was no answer. And that actually is true, actually. Sometimes in life, God doesn't give an answer. And Jacob went to his uncle, and they had a very, very complicated relationship. They tried to cheat each other and tricked each other. And Jacob eventually became richer through all these various schemes. And God did still bless him, even though he didn't respond very well to God. But his life was very, very hard. But in fact, the day came when Jacob had to go home. And suddenly, he had to face his brother. But in life today, as I said, it's easy to live just like Jacob, to strive and to fight for different things. And sometimes the sadness of life is the things that we desire most turn out to be worthless. So I don't know whether any of you have seen the film Gone with the Wind, very old film. Yes, that's good. Yes, yeah, good. Has anybody not seen it? You should get out more, you know. It's a that film is 80 years old. But it features someone who is incredibly selfish, actually, and she's always in love and always wants the person who she's not with at that time. And anything which she doesn't have, she seems to always desire, and she spends herself desperately trying to get something which is outside what she has, and she's never satisfied. And actually, it's easy to be under pressure in life for so many things. So I suppose when you're younger, you'll be told, you know, when you're at school, you must do this better. You must be better at maths. You must speak better English. You must do more history. And you're under pressure always to achieve things like that. And sometimes when you're older, we can be under pressure in other ways. We're told we have to be more beautiful. We have to be taller. We must be more handsome. We have to be thinner or whatever we might be. And when you're older, there is also pressure to achieve different things. And it's a sadness in life that, rather like this character in Gone with the Wind, we can spend all of our lives trying to do things that ultimately don't bring any happiness. And then suddenly at the end of life, we think, well, actually, I've spent all of my effort trying to please what somebody else wants. And at the end of the day, I'm just left empty. And that's the most sad thing of life, actually. And Joseph, actually, sorry, there I am again saying Joseph. Jacob. He went through all this hard work and he picked up all of these sheep, and at the end of the day he suddenly realized, oh no, I've still got to face my older brother. And do you know what he had to do to try and buy off his older brother? He started to send his sheep off ahead of him to try and make his brother accept him, or to try and make his brother want to forgive him. So everything he'd worked so hard and been so tricky to earn, eventually, he had to give it up, and just to try and get this relationship back with his brother. And sometimes, as I said, that's another picture of life sometimes, isn't it? We can work so hard to achieve things that don't actually matter in the end. And in fact, someone in our church said to me when I was meeting her, she said that she actually felt that she'd spend her whole life being worried about what other people thought about her, and had been struggling with that pressure all the way through her life. And it actually took a really significant event in her family to actually break her free of that pressure that she'd been living under. So this morning, actually, don't live a life that is struggling to please other people or to follow the path that I've laid out for myself. There is actually one verse in the Bible that I think is just a real blessing when you read it, when Jesus told the story of the servant who was faithful, and when he went to heaven, then you have this picture of God patting him on the back and when God said, well done, good and faithful servant, you think, well, if God pats me on the back and says, well done, good and faithful servant, then nothing else counts for very much in life, does it really? And all those other things that we think about suddenly just evaporate. And I think actually there's another verse in the Bible, this is from Proverbs, it says, the fear of man is a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is safe. And actually just trusting God gives us this simplicity in our lives. And we're actually, instead of pleasing other people, we are just pleasing God who truly cares for us. Now I said I had 3 points, but I wasn't being honest actually. This is the fourth of my 3 points now. That in the end, of course, God does break through. So you can tell I sat down and just wrote my sermon out and I didn't correct the beginning part. So God actually broke through in the end. Eventually Jacob ended up at the very end of his abilities and he was told, your elder brother, your big brother's coming with 400 armed men. And he sent his animals in front and he had to give everything he had away to try to escape from this tight situation. Then finally he prayed. He said, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, who said to me, go back to your country and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you've shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, and now I've become two camps. Save me from the hand of my brother, for he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. And in fact, God met with him a second time. We'll save the analysis of that for another sermon. But actually, God met him that very night. And actually, God appeared as a man, and they wrestled with each other. And that was, again, just a picture of Jacob's life, striving one with another. A picture that's spoken about very, very much. And at the end of the day, Jacob realized he couldn't win. And in the end, he was a man who encountered God. And he learned that God wanted to bless him. All of his life he'd gone the other direction. He tried to get what he wanted by cheating. He sought after many, many things. And in a way, he denied God's own plan for his life. But then, in the end, he couldn't overcome. And he became, God, of course, eventually became the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as we hear for the rest of the Old Testament. So Jacob was a man, of course, who eventually did follow God. So just to summarize all of that, I would just say that today God's desire is to be close to every one of us here. Just like he wanted to be close to Jacob, and he was close when he had that dream, but God is near to every one of us now. And what I would say to you is, when you just think of that love of God, the God who would say, I will be with you always. I will give you the land that you're on, as he said to Jacob. In our New Testament times, he would say that along with Jesus, he gives us every good thing that we need. He didn't even deny his own son. He allowed his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that we can be forgiven for our sin. So what I'd say is don't this morning, just think about that picture, about Jacob, who worked so hard for things that ultimately, in the end, they were worth nothing. Instead, be someone who commits your way to God. And just think about that moment in heaven when Jesus pats you on the back and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's God's desire, actually, that all of us just incline and give our hearts to him. And it's his desire that he welcomes every one of us with that welcome. In the end. So just one little exhortation or encouragement just today. I'm sure nobody here is like Jacob, who tries to get everything by cheating and trickery. But nevertheless, I think many of us do strive and struggle all through our lives for different things. But what I would just say to you today is just put your life into God's hands, because God truly cares for you. Don't live your lives struggling to please other people, because ultimately you'll only be disappointed. So God actually has this desire to bring blessing into our lives. And it's my prayer for all of us today that we actually place our lives into his hands. So maybe I'll just pray a short prayer.